Perhaps I don't need to make this point, but I will. It wasn't the feeding of the 5,000. It's very clear that there were more there. But of course, our Gospels were written at a time where women and children weren't seen to have importance. No need to count them. Of course, today we see things very, very difficult, very, very different. Apart from the story of the resurrection, this is the only story, the only miracle story, which is to be found in all four Gospels. Of course, in each of them, it's told slightly differently, not greatly differently. And in two of the Gospels, there is a following story, which is called the feeding of the 4,000. As if the first story was not enough, those writers wanted to remind their readers by saying, here the story is again. We can, if we wish, take this story as simply being a story where Jesus performs a miracle which changes a little into a lot. Personally, I do not feel that that is the message of the story or the way that it happened. For a message that speaks of that kind of miracle absolves us from doing anything. It gives us a reason why we don't need to do anything. What do you mean there's hungry in the world? Well, Jesus will feed them. God will make sure all are fed. This sense that we can get of a reliance on God or on Jesus to do everything is one that leads us to do nothing. And in leading us to do nothing, it leaves people in places of poverty or in unjust situations. This story, at its heart, has within it a message of justice. A message of justice for all. This story we hear starts in that sense with the sense of compassion that Jesus has when he sees the crowd. Who made up that crowd? When is this story, this miracle happening? Is this a crowd of people who on their day off go and attend a pride event or a local festival of some sort? Probably not. Is this a crowd who have come just because there's some local entertainment in the area that might be worth going to see? Probably not. In a world where many were struggling for necessities of life, they, having heard either directly or through others, something of this man Jesus, have come and gathered where he is, that they might hear what he has to say. We don't know how soon after the start of his ministry this event happens. We do not know, although we might begin to suspect it, that in Jesus people are already seeing one who might be potentially someone who will lead them. Lead them to some kind of deliverance, some kind of freedom, that he might be this promised Messiah. Have they left work early? Have they got work anyway? Are they self-sufficient, or are they laborers on the lands of others, toiling in the heat for low wages, insufficient for the needs for themselves and their family? Jesus comes and he speaks. And it stirs them. And they stay long beyond maybe what they meant to say. And at the end, as the day draws towards its close, what are they to do next? Hunger would have been there for many of them. And so Jesus suggests that rather than take up the disciples' idea of going to the local villages, going to the local Greggs or McDonald's or whatever fast food outlet is of your liking, maybe there's a different way. A different way. In this world that we live, when we have festivals, whatever kind, whatever name they go under, what a wonderful racket there is for those who are portable food operators. They make enough bread, just not the kind to eat. Not in those days of Jesus. Not one who's going to be there, a van by this meeting place, that all may go and buy food. The village, will that be able to provide for this crowd's needs? So Jesus challenges and says, so what have we got? What have you got? In John's Gospel, of course, we hear that there's a young boy who provides these loaves and fishes. But this small packed lunch, I mean, if that's what the disciples have bought to feed themselves, the disciples and Jesus, they've not brought enough for that either, have they? But with this offering, in some way, make up your mind how you believe it might have happened in one sense. There soon is enough food. And it's not barely enough food. It's an overwhelming abundance of food. So much so that at the end of the time, they could all have gone home taking their packed lunches with them for the next day. Compassion that Jesus has. This constant search for him for justice. Not that the rich should be fed by exploiting the poor, but that all may be fed and all may share in the abundance of God's goodness, which we sang about at the beginning of our service. this story doesn't just speak of that compassion and that desire for justice. It speaks too of the stewardship of resources. How do we use what it is that we have? Yes, of course, as individuals, but also as societies. Also as the whole world. How do we steward wisely the resources that there are in the world? And it speaks too of that need for partnership, working together. This isn't a miracle that Jesus does on his own with no help. It's not a feeding of the 5,000 out of nothing and with nothing. It is a feeding where there is stuff there and is shared and he's aided by others. I don't know how many of you this morning were listening to Radio 4 and to the worship service on Radio 4. I have to say that over the last couple of years, although I've always got my radio on Radio 4 to wake me up, when it comes to the worship service, often I'm finding it's from parts of the church which I actually struggle with. Today, it came from a place called Port Sunlight. You heard it? Wow. Wasn't that an inspiring story? For those of you who didn't hear it, ask them like, no. So Port Sunlight is a model village that was built in 1888 in the Wirral by Lord Weaver of Lever Brothers, now Unilever. Think of Cadbury's village. Don't think though of Unilever were doing chocolate. But this idea of bringing those workers into a new place to live. So this model village is built. Houses for all the workers, individually built. Different architects in different places, not some kind of council housing in tower block flats that all look the same greyness. Many, many, I think it's over 900 of the buildings are listed. Listed. And the idea behind it was that workers should not be exploited by their bosses, by their employers. But workers should somehow be able to share in the wonder, if you like, or the product of their labour. So profits were not to go to the employers, to the bosses, but to then be redistributed, if you like, to make that model village a better place for all to live. These are not places for subsistence living, not prison blocks for the workers to be dragged from each day for work, but a place where together they build community, where they support each other through the work and their shared effort, that all might have a better way of living. That sounds a beautiful model, doesn't it? A beautiful model. It's difficult to think of how we can make that happen in the world today. I'm not sure how many employers we would find who would take that kind of view of the work that they were doing. But that picture of that kind of society, And as we know, in some ways, an echo of many other religious movements before then, which wanted to share the benefits of shared labour and shared produce. To live, if you like, in communes where they worked for each other, that we still might see in places like America with the Amish and the Mennonites. Yeah. Just is something that actually might make us think there is a different way to this world where it seems so many people are only out for what they can get from it and what they can get from other people without thinking of them, without thinking of others' needs or the dignity and worth of every being. This story for me is best summed up when we look at the story in reverse. When we look at the story backwards. So let me say, within this story, which some of you might have kind of been cottoning on, is also, if you like, John's picture of what we do when we share bread and wine around a table. For there are within it, if you like, four actions. Some food is offered. So there is an offering. Thanks are given. In the case of the story by Jesus, thanks for that offering. And then that offering is shared amongst many, and all were fed. And there was more than enough to go round. Reversing that story. We live in a world where there is more than enough to go around. We must learn that if we share those worlds, those resources around all the world, there is more than enough for everyone. And when it is done, then thanks will be given by all. And that then just leaves us with that final thing, that we must be people who should offer what we can offer, whatever that might be. To be partners in the enterprise, to take the offering of groups and see how best we can work with them. Things like the refugee project for the circuit. They're a picture of that. They're what we do already. What we do with open house. What we do with opening our premises, lowering our rents, especially for groups who struggle. All of that is about trying to see how we use the resources we have got that might make others' lives a little easier, a little better. So I pray that we will truly find those ways where we can be stewards of our resources, not just us as a local congregation here, although that is part of it, but that the world might see there is another way. But they will only see that other way if they see models of it, if they see people doing it, if they're encouraged to do it. That's the fight for justice that Jesus is part of, that he calls us to be part of. It's about the way then we share and we steward those resources so that the needs of all may be met, and not just met sparingly and the rest of the profit taken by us, but abundantly, abundantly. We must be partners in that work. Partners because we are called by divine love to be partners. People who long for justice, who long for life for all people. Life not in scarcity, but with the abundancy that the generosity of that we call God, that we see throughout the universe, is there if truly we learn to share. So may God be our guide, our strength, and our support as we seek to be that community of people. Amen. And so we're going to sing a song which longs for justice, that longs for light in the world. Longing for light, we wait in darkness.